Welcome to Asphalt Talk, a podcast by and for asphalt professionals. Join our expert hosts as they tackle real industry issues to pave a smoother way for asphalt suppliers and producers. This podcast is sponsored by MAPA, the Missouri Asphalt Pavement Association. Founded to promote quality and accountability, MAPA has been serving the asphalt producers of Missouri since 1990. And now a public service announcement from our sponsor, MayCreate Design. Google Translate doesn't work for web designer to paving company translations. You say hot mix and it thinks you're talking about the latest snack craze. Wouldn't it be nice to work with a designer who knows the difference between binders and bitumen? Work with folks who have been speaking your language for the past 17 years. Visit maycreate.com. That's M-A-Y-E-create.com. Because if you think your website sucks, so does everyone else.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Asphalt Talk. I'm your host, Dale Williams, with the Missouri Asphalt Pavement Association. Today, we're sitting down with Kenny Voss, the new MoDOT state design engineer. Kenny, it's great to talk with you today, and I look forward to our discussion about your role as the new state design engineer. But before we do, let's spend a little bit of time learning a little bit about yourself. So first of all, Kenny, how long have you been with MoDOT?
Thanks, Dale. Actually, I've been, in June, I'll be 28 years at MoDOT. So.
Wow. Great career. I was just thinking about that the other day. I would have hit 28 years in June as well.
Yeah.
Would have become, as a lot of the state people talk about, being bulletproof at that point. So
Yeah, exactly.
So prior to becoming the state design engineer, what were some of the other positions you held?
Well, I started out as in design at the Central District. Used to be District 5 here in Jefferson City. Moved up through designer to a squad leader to project manager in the district. And then from there, I moved to central office as the bidding and contract services engineer. And then I was the LPA administrator, statewide administrator for the local programs that we administer for federal aid. And then assistant state design engineer. And then now my current position is state design engineer.
So all those positions, what was your favorite job?
I would say probably project manager. I think having that hands-on approach with a job and getting to see what you're actually working on get built out in the field, that's really rewarding. And it was the right time with I have three boys, so got to kind of drive them out there to those projects and show them what was going on and show them the big equipment that we were working on that was building the projects. So very exciting.
So did you always want to work in the road construction industry?
You know, I would say probably what I was the first person from my family to go to college. My stepdad was a bricklayer, and he built houses in the winter. So I had a little bit of feel for construction, enjoyed kind of being out in the field. It was kind of interesting. I wanted to be in construction, but just the way my career ended up going, design was the way I went. But wasn't really exposed to road construction, but certainly construction in general, constructing houses, just building things in general. I've always enjoyed doing that.
So you mentioned all of your career has really been in the design division. Was that your goal whenever you graduated college, was to work in design, or did you have other aspirations or?
No, like I said, I think that I really wanted to be out in the field. That was kind of the experience I had in high school and college. I helped build houses, was a hod man for my stepdad's bricklayer and my stepbrother. So not that I wanted to do that, but I did enjoy being out in the field outside doing that type of work. And then I worked a summer intern in construction and a summer intern in research where I was out in the field. So that was my original plan, but as I always say, like, you kind of write your plans down in pencil and kind of go with the flow as things take you there. And got a job in Central District in our design division and really enjoyed that work more than I had kind of thought I would. Just getting to get a little bit of being out in the field, but also being in the office and meeting different people around the state.
Yeah, I can certainly understand where you're coming from. You know, my goal in life was to be a structural engineer, and I, like you, you know, I started in design and made my way to construction and materials and ended up in the asphalt realm, and you're 28 years later still doing the same thing. And
yeah,
don't regret a minute of it.
Yeah, you just never know know where things are going to take you. Just kind of go with the flow and just, you know, be ready to change as opportunities come in front of you.
Right. So who's been your most important professional mentor?
You know, I've had a lot of mentors, so I don't necessarily want to point out one in particular, but, you know, each one of my mentors that I've had in my career have kind of taught me different things that are really important for my development. You know, one of the things that I really learned from each of those was that you need to invest in people, invest in, you know, your employees, the people around you, to make everyone the best version of themselves. They did that for me, and I've gotten to pass that down to my employees and people I work with over the last 28 years. So
that's good. So when you're not at work, what do you like to do for hobbies?
Me and my wife like to travel. I like to go hiking. As far as a kind of a personal hobby, I picked this up during COVID, was running. So in the last couple of years, I've actually done 3 marathons. So I did my first marathon at 49. I've done them last couple. So it's just kind of a nice, healthy stress reliever that I've picked up during COVID, which has kind of continued beyond that. So.
Wow. That's impressive. You're in full marathons.
Yeah. Yep. 26.2 miles. So.
Oh, wow.
You're a better man than me. Not super fast or anything like that, but completed them and very proud of being able to complete them. So.
That is amazing, Kenny. I can't even imagine how you prepare yourself mentally and physically to do something like that. It has to be pretty grueling.
Yeah, I tell people that the mental part is just as hard as the physical part. So.
Well, I would think having to push through that far for 26 miles, I mean, that's quite an accomplishment. That's not a run around the block. What would be the most important lesson you've learned over your career?
I think that relationships really matter. You know, it's the people you know that help you get things done. Got to know who has the answers, who makes the decisions, so that you can work through things. And, you know, if you have a relationship with someone, it's a lot easier to approach them to ask for a favor or to ask, you know, them how to do something that maybe you aren't comfortable asking that question. So continuing to build relationships throughout your career, because you don't know when those are going to be needed down the road.
Yeah, I think that's really, really good advice, or, you know, a great lesson, because, you know, that's one of the things I've learned being in the association world. You know, that is a big part of what we do, is building relationships and having the relationships. You know, I talk about our meetings, and I say sometimes the meeting is the excuse for us to get together and build those relationships, because I think, you know, sometimes the conversations that happen outside of the meeting or at dinner or wherever you're at a conference, that's probably where some of the real work gets done or real decisions are made.
Absolutely. I think whenever you have a relationship, the kind of guards come down and you can have a more open conversation about how to solve problems that are out there that are difficult to solve. So
let's switch gears a little bit and talk about your role as the new state design engineer. What are your priorities as the new state design engineer?
Well, kind of my high level vision that I presented to my staff is, you know, safety, service, projects, and people. And you know, for this conversation today, I'd say just kind of focus on a couple of the things is, you know, service. And I say that from a customer service standpoint. That means working with, you know, our partners that are out there, engaging the industry to make sure that we're getting the best value on the products that we have out there. And just like what we talked about, those relationships, make sure that we're building the relationships in a way that the industry feels comfortable calling us whenever we have a set of plans that maybe need some changes to them, and that we're responsive to those issues. That's one of the things that we actually have a project manager meeting here coming up in a couple of weeks that I'm going to talk about the importance of being responsive to contractor questions, being open, having more constructability meetings on complicated projects where we can get more impact or more input from our industry partners, so that we can partner on how to get the best value. And the other thing is projects. As you know, there's been a huge investment from on the federal level and the state level in transportation over the last couple of years. I think one of the things that we like to talk about is from 2016 to today, our STIP, our five-year STIP, has went from $2.5 billion to $13.9 billion. So our current STIP, we have 1,500 projects that we have to get delivered. And that is a huge challenge with the resources that we have out there. So trying to make sure that every decision that we're making as a division, as a DOT on our program delivery side, is use those limited resources to focus on getting projects delivered, get them out from a design standpoint, get them out to construction, get those projects started, and just focus our efforts in that area as much as possible.
Yeah, the amount of investment in transportation in the last, I guess 3 or 4 years has been, just almost staggering. It's a much more enjoyable problem to work on. Talk about limited resources and, getting things out the door. The construction industry faces, similar problems just from a different standpoint.
Absolutely. I think, you asked me what my favorite job was in my career. And whenever I was project manager, it was during another big investment time. We had Amendment 3 that had just passed. And we had, some of the other funding that was going on right after the recession. And we got to work on some really big transformational projects during that time. And I think this is that next opportunity for transforming Missouri's transportation system that is really exciting. And it's really the fulfilling part of our jobs is whenever we get to work in those big projects that transform our state.
Yeah. I mean, I look at I-70 that you all have the first phase of that out and, excited to see the next, I guess, five phases and, the legislature, we're in the home stretch, but there may be some big projects on 44 and just really exciting times to be in this industry.
Absolutely. Yeah. And even whenever you talk about I-70, that's a $3 billion investment that we have on I-70. Well, there's another $11 billion worth of investments across the rest of the state that are going on. So that just crazy to think how much of an increase in investment that we've had to our transportation system.
If everything comes to light in this session, we'll be looking at almost $4 billion in general revenue that's went to highways that's never happened in the history of Missouri, which is just incredible. And maybe that kind of dovetails into my next question for you is, what's the biggest challenge you're facing right now in your role, and how are you going to tackle it?
Well, I think this is true of, everyone is, workforce is it's a huge challenge that we have out there. With that increase in investment in transportation funding, ramping up, our workforce, getting ready, getting projects out the door is a huge challenge. We're dealing with really unprecedented turnover at this time, but we're trying to make sure that we're doing the knowledge transfer for those that are retiring, making sure that next generation is prepared to step into new roles, doing lots of training, making sure that, the successes that MoDOT's had in the past of partnering with industry to get the best value for the state of Missouri, that we're transferring, those kind of, expectations to the next generation of our team to say, hey, this is how MoDOT does it. This is how Missouri is successful in delivering projects, is to work with industry to make sure that we're getting best value for the citizens of Missouri.
So where do you think the industry is headed in the future?
Well, I think it's kind of a little driven by, safety, some of the safety issues that are out there, but also with workforce. I think technology is really opening some doors for us, whether that's having autonomous vehicles for on the road, like a TMA that would reduce you know, the exposure for employees that are out there. Also, some of the technology that alerts our teams that are out there in harm's way for work zones to say that there might be someone, driving through a work zone that is, you know, speeding or not aware of stuff, that we would get out of that area. The other thing is using some of the AI tools that are starting to emerge to get more efficient with some of the day-to-day work that we do, as far as in the office, selecting projects, bundling projects, looking for best value opportunities that are out there moving forward.
Yeah, you know, you touched on work zones and the traveling public, and just kind of finished up over the last couple of weeks. We've been traveling around to the districts talking about, you know, really on the material side and QCQA, but, you know, one of the things that's a common theme in a lot of the meetings is work zone and work zone safety. And, you know, the driver that's going through a work zone today is much different than the driver 28 years ago. And the distracted driving is incredible. And I think there's a lot of technology out there and opportunities that hopefully we can bring to the state in the future and, you know, try to make our work zones as safe as possible.
Yeah, I think one of the things that we're already seeing deployed across the state is, you know, drone technology for surveying that really gets, you know, us off the ground and out of that exposure. Whether that's, you know, pre-construction or even during construction, to kind of reduce that exposure to the traveling public in a work zone.
The other thing you brought up was a use of AI. And I was talking to Lynn Tengis the other day about a conference he was at with AGC. And he said that was one of the presentations that it was a national conference. It was using AI to design roads. And, you know, just thinking about how that fits and, you know, the ethical challenges, you know, how do you stamp a set of AI design plans and where all that goes in the future. But I think it's really exciting to see where all of this is going to lead.
Yeah. You know, I don't know that we, you know, from a workforce standpoint, whether we can actually fill that entire need with, you know, what's coming out of schools right now. So we're going to have to try to find some technologies that reduce, you know, the need for, you know, people in some cases, to kind of just keep on getting the amount of work that's being asked for us to move forward. So we're going to have to lean into some of those technologies, just like other industries have. You know, you see this with the fast food industry out there. They're starting to try to find ways to reduce the number of, you know, employees they have through kiosk and things like that. We're going to have to find ways to kind of develop plans, through AI, or even, you know, some of the simpler things that we're doing today is, you know, trying to identify bundles. So we have, you know, I said 1500 projects in our STIP. We currently have a research project where we're, you know, kind of using some AI tools to identify what are the best bundles to put projects together statewide out of that 5-year STIP, those 1500 projects that, you know, are for the best value for MoDOT. And then set those up early so that the industry knows what's coming down the road.
Well, we look forward to seeing that, because I know bundling and how projects are grouped are always important to our members. And I think, you know, the better we can get at putting the projects together, the better value it is for the taxpayer, and, yeah, you know, both financially and time-wise. So if you could go back and maybe give your 18-year-old self one piece of advice, what would it be?
You know, I think that, you know, after I'm 51. So at 51, I think you realize that, you know, you only have so many opportunities in life, and you need to take advantage of every one of those opportunities to learn something new, meet new people. I think it's sometimes early in my career, I was, you know, kind of nervous about volunteering for something or getting out of my comfort zone. I would say constantly, you know, put yourself out of your comfort zone, because that's how you grow and you get better. And it's not comfortable, but continue to be uncomfortable, because it'll make you a better person down the road.
If you could be remembered for one thing, what would it be?
I think, you know, I'm coming on 28 years at MoDOT is, I want people to think that, you know, I left MoDOT in a better place than when I left, and that I helped the people around me be the best version of themselves, and that I helped people that worked underneath me or the peers I work with help them grow, both personally and professionally, in the work that they do.
Well, I think that'd be a great way to be remembered. It kind of dovetails in. I was watching Caitlin Clark's final game yesterday, and she said, "I don't want to be remembered for winning the national championship or, you know, all the accolades." She said, "I want to be remembered for bringing, you know, changing the sport." And I think you're very similar there. And I think that's what a great legacy to have. Got any parting thoughts as we wrap up?
I think it's great that we're doing this podcast and as part of that partnering and trying to build relationships that are out there. I would say that just encourage anyone of your members to feel comfortable to reach out with me if you have any questions about any of our projects that we have out there. I think that I'm always open to industry input on how we can do things better and improve our projects and our value for the taxpayers of Missouri.
Well, I certainly appreciate that. I think, you know, as we work together, I think we're better. And we all sit down and have open dialogue. We can make things better for Missourians, because taxpayers are the ones that ultimately win when we're successful. So
I agree.
Kenny, I appreciate the time. And I just like to say thank you for listening to Asphalt Talk, the podcast by and for asphalt professionals. If you enjoyed listening and learned something, please leave us a review. Your review will help us connect with other professionals like yourself so we can keep this conversation going.
1992 called, they want their website back. Stop apologizing for your crappy site and stop working with that company who thinks hot mix is the latest snack craze. Work with folks who have been speaking your language for the past 17 years. And get a website that's not a gigantic pain in the you-know-what to build. Visit maycreate.com, that's maycreate.com, for a free consultation and quote. Because if you think your website sucks, so does everyone else.